We do not have to teach our children about revenge. The instinct to get back and get even is there from the beginning. Even our seemingly innocent preschoolers can curl their lips, kick, scratch, and scream. And don't we do the same? We may not kick, scratch, and scream, but the look on our face still says, I could kill you. The parable in today's gospel shows us just how ugly the human heart can be. It is easy for us to miss the point of the parable and think that it is simply a story about Jesus, his enemies, and what they did to him. But this parable is really about us and what we do to one another and to God. A man in a vineyard plants more vine plants. He expends much effort in building hedges, a wine press, and a watchtower. He then rents out the vineyard, and one day rent is due. The landowner sends some of his servants to collect the rent. Now, so far, our sympathy is probably with the renters. You know, the landlord, he's probably, you know, rich, powerful, perhaps lives in Palm Beach, basking in the sand and sipping on martinis. And the renters, well, you know, they're just good, basic, simple, working people. But our sympathy for the renters is about to be jolted. When the master's servants appear to collect the rent, the renters beat some of them, kill others, and send the rest packing without the rent. So what will the landowner do to the renters who have trashed him? Both his income and his honor is at stake. If he allows such behavior to go unchallenged, you know, no one is ever going to think that they ever need to pay their rent again. He sends some more servants. The renters beat and kill them too. What is the master going to do? Maybe if he sends his son, they will treat him with respect and it will make a difference. So he says, Harold, you go down to the vineyard. Surely you will fare better than my servants. Surely they will respect my son, Harold. We got to ask, what kind of a master is this? Has he not learned his lesson? Ought he not give those rebellious servants what they deserve? And when the son arrives, what do the renters say? They say, oh, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance of the vineyard will be ours. And they took him and killed him. And the master has no rent, no honor, no servants, and no son. Now, it's easy for us to distance ourselves from this parable and think that it's only about Jesus and his crucifixion by his enemies. It is easy for us to think that this parable is only about the revenge-filled hearts of Jesus' critics. Oh, they will surely get what they deserve. But how mistaken we are. For this story isn't just about them, it is about us. One afternoon, a shopper at a local mall decided it was time for a coffee break. She bought a little bag of cookies and a cup of coffee. She put the cookies in her purse and sat down at the table to relax. And she took out her magazine, began to read it, and sipped on her coffee. And across the table also sat another man reading his newspaper. Well, she reached out and she took a cookie. As she did, the man seated across the table reached out and took a cookie too. And she thought, what nerve! How dare he take one of my cookies? A few minutes later, she took another cookie. And once again, the man across the table did the same. Now, she was starting to get very upset, especially since now that there was only one cookie left. Well, apparently the man also realized that there was only one cookie left, and he took it and broke it in half and offered half to her and proceeded to eat the other half himself. And then he smiled and stood up and put his paper under his arm and walked away. And she was steamed. Who did he think he was? Her coffee break ruined, already thinking of how much she would report this kind of abuse to her family by a stranger. She folded up her magazine in disgust, opened up her purse, and there discovered her unopened bag of her cookies. All the time she had been unwittingly helping herself, not to her cookies, but to the stranger's cookies. And he had been her gracious host while she had been petty, selfish, and only wanting revenge. It was the stranger who had every right to be offended. I mean, she had taken what had belonged to him without even asking or acknowledging it with a word of thanks. It was the stranger, in fact, who had every right to get back and get even. Likewise, we cannot help ourselves. We cannot escape our thirst for revenge. We have decided to take over the vineyard. We will no longer give God his due. We are only interested in ourselves. We think that we have every right to be judge, jury, and executioner. We call the shots. If not for the universe, then at least for everyone sitting around our table. This dark and tragic parable in today's gospel leaves us in a very precarious situation, facing a miserable death at the hand of an angry God who has had it with our arrogance. Were it not for the marvelous twist that Jesus gives this parable, Jesus quotes Psalm 118. The very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. And this was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. In so doing, in so quoting this psalm, Jesus announces that God is at work, even in the hatred and the arrogance and the revenge that led to the crucifixion and death of the landowner's son. Saving those murderous renters from the fate they deserved. Back to the parable. The landowner will not put up with abuse. The renters must pay for their crime. The landowner gets revenge. But Jesus' marvelous twist promises that in his coming death and resurrection, God's judgment of despicable renters collides head-on with God's determination to love the world and never give up on his vineyard. So God lets his son suffer the fate that is ours on the cross. But The very stone that the builders rejected, the very son that the renters killed, God raises from the dead and makes it the cornerstone of his plan to save the world. What a strangely wonderful way to do business. And it is good news for those of us who are so insecure and so unsure that we must always get back and get even. In the process, we do abuse one another and we abuse God. And God will not look the other way. But in the strangely wonderful economy of his vineyard, God sends his son to suffer the fate that ought to be ours. We may be relentlessly captive to our desire for revenge, which we are. But thanks be to God that God is not. For in Jesus Christ, the never-ending cycle of revenge and making everyone pay is reversed and undone. And isn't it amazing that the very stone which the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone of a whole new world? Now there is hope, even for us. No longer unsure, insecure. We do not need to make everyone pay. But we can join God in beginning to reverse that revenge that makes such a mess of life in this world. Some of you are old enough to remember this. During the Sandinista revolution in Nicaragua in the 1980s, the government army captured one of the revolutionary generals. They horribly tortured and beat him. They took his wife and they raped her. In other words, they did everything possible to dehumanize him and strip away every shred of his dignity. And the war continued and went on. But eventually, the rebels were victorious. And after victory, they marched the leaders of the government army into prison. And in dramatic fashion, the rebel prisoners marched out of the prison at the same time as the government soldiers who had tortured and abused them. Suddenly, the procession came to a halt, and the rebel general, the one whom the government army had so beaten and humiliated in prison, came face to face with the very man who had ordered the torture of him and his family. And that revolutionary soldier said, "You know me, I know you." The man was terrified. At first he denied, he didn't know him. But then he knew there was no way out of this. He had been caught. And he began to tremble, begging his accuser for mercy. And the rebel general shrieked, "You know me? You are the one who ordered the rape and the torture of my wife." And after a lengthy pause, the rebel general grabbed his torturer by the collar and shouted, "Do you know what this revolution is all about?" The government soldier, attempting to save himself, muttered, "Oh, I know all about the revolution. Oh, I agree with the goals of the revolution. I'm ready to support the revolution." But the rebel general said to him, "No, you do not know what this revolution is all about. This revolution is about a very different Nicaragua. And in that Nicaragua, I forgive you. That is what this revolution is all about." You see, That rebel general was not only a leader of a national revolt, he was also a Christian. Christ was alive in him, working a revolution in his heart. Christ had reversed the revenge lurking in his heart and its never-ending demand to even the score. He no longer had to get back and get even. Even in order to be somebody. That same revolution is possible for us. Because Jesus died and rose again. Because the stone which the builders rejected has in fact become the cornerstone. We know that in the eyes of God, we are his children, beloved. Finally, somebody, we matter, we count. We don't need to always have to get back and get even. So we can begin to reverse the revenge that holds this world captive. We too can put one more stone into building the kingdom of God. Amen. Please rise for the hymn.